Maturanam Kijai, Jagadasami Kijai, Vunamai Kijai, Shimati Kalasini Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Harikari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Shimati Radharani Kijai. So, Omegana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Sulakaya Chakshuram Minikam Gena Tasmai Shigaraveda Maha. First, I'd like to read the translation for this poem by Srila Rupa Goswami in glorification of Radharani. Translation is as follows: O Radha, O beloved of Madhava, O you who are worshipped by all the young girls of Gokula, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. O you who dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you, O Queen of Lord Hari's pleasure grove, Vrindavan, which is a pleasure grove of Lord Hari, O new moon who has arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu, O friend of Lalita, O you who make Vishakha loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities of friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna, O you who are filled with compassion, O you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages, Sanaka and Sanatana, O merciful Radha, please be merciful to me. So, today on Srimati Radharani's appearance day, of course, we're going to mention some stories about her appearance and special treat. We're going to tell the story from the Lalita Madhava about how Radharani goes to Dwarka. Very interesting, in the form of Satyabhama. So hopefully we have time for all these things, but beginning with the class, we're going to talk about Radharani's ontological position, particularly her mood in relationship to Krishna, because Krishna is her prananath. Prananath means the lord of her life. She knows no one but Krishna as hers. And so we're going to talk about this in relationship to Prabhupada's commentary and translation, or translations, on the Anchalila verses dealing with the last verse of the Shikshastika. Because this is a very important verse, and Prabhupada and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami elaborate on the meaning of this verse insofar as how it relates to Srimati Radharani. And also, insofar as it relates to pure devotional service, the prerequisite for understanding Radha and Krishna. Of course, the Acharyas give us the methodology to approach Radha and Krishna. That first we approach Radha and Krishna. Before we even approach Radha and Krishna, we approach Lord Nityananda in the aspect of his representative, the spiritual master. And by approaching Lord Nityananda, one becomes free from material desires or anarthas. Then you can approach Lord Chaitanya after approaching Lord Nityananda, and you come to the ecstatic platform by approaching Lord Chaitanya. But still you don't quite completely understand Radha and Krishna. And to completely understand Radha and Krishna, you have to go through the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So it is a hierarchy or a process that one should follow. First Lord Nityananda, his representative, the spiritual master, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Radha and Krishna. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his verses on this last verse of the Shikshastikas, shows us what Radharani's mood is, what it means to be a worshipper of Radharani. And I'm going to read a little bit from this and comment a little bit on this. And of course, the last verse is Slishava Padavatam Panashtu Mamadarshanam Arvatam Kurutuva Yatatata Vavadavatu Mambato Mat Prananathas Tusa Evanapara. So, this translation that Prabhupada gives in this version of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is different than the translation we're accustomed to hearing, but it's a very deep, esoteric Rasika translation. So, the translation Prabhupada gives is, let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet, or let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee. I think everyone knows what a debauchee is. It means a man who doesn't remain faithful. And actually, we were talking about Lita Devi last night, and her friend, Lalita, who's a friend of Srimati Radharani, sometimes calls Srimati Radharani Kalikini. Does anyone know what that means? Kalikini. What does it mean? A unchaste one. So Krishna here is being called an unchaste person, as we know. After all, he can do whatever he likes, and still he is alone, and no one else is the worshipful Lord of my heart. Now, I am a maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna. These are paraphrases of the same verse. He is the embodiment of transcendental happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him. Or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. Sometimes Krishna gives up the company of other gopis and becomes controlled, mind and body, by me. Thus he manifests my good fortune and gives others distress by performing his loving affairs with me. Or since, after all, he is a cunning, obstinate debauchee with a propensity to cheat, he takes to the company of other women. He then indulges in loving affairs with them in front of me to give distress to my mind. Nevertheless, he is still the Lord of my life. So this is the chastity of Srimati Radharani. I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great distress, great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. Try to understand that. If it makes Krishna happy to make me unhappy, then my unhappiness is my happiness. Does any wife ever say that about their husband? Any ladies who are married or have some associate ever say that? No way. But this is pure love. And let's see. I'm skipping some of this. If Krishna, attracted by the beauty of some other woman, wants to enjoy with her but is unhappy because he cannot get her, I fall down at her feet, catch her hand, and bring her to Krishna to engage her for his happiness. When a beloved gopi shows symptoms of anger towards Krishna, Krishna is very satisfied. Indeed, he is extremely pleased when chastised by such a gopi. She shows her pride suitably, and Krishna enjoys that attitude. Then she gives up her pride with a little endeavor. So in other words, Radharani, of course, is the Adi Shakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she represents, or is the chief of the left-handed gopis. So that's called Vam in Sanskrit. There's left-handed gopis and right-handed gopis. That doesn't refer to how they write or type on their computer. That refers to whether they're unsubmissive, left-handed, or submissive. And Krishna prefers unsubmissive gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, because it spices up the relationship. Krishna does not like boring relationships. Now we have, on the other hand, an expansion of Srimati Radharani known as Chandravali, who is right-handed gopi, and she is very submissive. In fact, she gets angry with Radharani for chastising Krishna. That's how submissive she is in relationship to Krishna. But Krishna, he likes every minute to be intensely emotional. Everything he does, there's no like boring aspect of Krishna's life. And so he enjoys. He left-handed gopis. And of course, Radharani, as we'll be speaking in a few minutes, expands as Satyabhama in the Dwarka pastimes. And as Satyabhama, she's different than Rukmini, who is the expansion of Chandravali. And Chandravali, of course, is in the Vrindavan pastimes. And Rukmini is very submissive. When Krishna tries to get Rukmini angry, for example, in the Bhagavatam, there's a story where Krishna says to Rukmini, when she's a grandmother, you better get a divorce. You married the wrong person. So instead of getting angry at Krishna, what does she do? Does anyone know? She faints. And Krishna has to manifest two extra arms to catch her. But with Satyabhama, it's completely different. Satyabhama nags Krishna. I mean, no man likes a nag. So Satyabhama, one time, when she saw that Rukmini was giving the Parijata flower, she said to Krishna, you got to get me a whole plant. And so that when Krishna went to fight with this Bhomasura, this demon who had, actually, Bhomasura was Krishna's son, you know, and this demon who kidnapped 16,100 princesses, then what happened is Satyabhama demanded the whole Parijata plant from the heavenly planets, and Krishna had to fight with all the demigods in order to keep that plant. Of course, he defeated all the demigods. So Satyabhama is always nagging Krishna. And Krishna likes that. Just like in spicing, let's say with eating food, nobody really likes, or very few people like, bland food, just boiled vegetables. One time, the devotees were trying to help Srila Prabhupada and give him just boiled vegetables. They were concerned about his health. And Prabhupada, when he was offered these boiled vegetables, said, let the starvation committee go to hell. So he wasn't cursing his disciples, but he was saying what he felt about boiled vegetables. So Prabhupada liked spices. Anyone who, of course, I did cook with Prabhupada. Anyone who cooked with Prabhupada understood that when Prabhupada made a chaunce, you all heard of a chaunce before? Some of you call it chonk, chaunce. Prabhupada would throw so many red peppers at the end of the chaunce that when the chaunce was put into the dal, the devotees had to run out of the temple. Not because they had eaten or drunk the dal, because they were breathing the air that was three stories down in the same building. Remember that? Linda Maharaj will remember that. Everyone would go, oh, oh, it's chaunce the dal. And when you would drink the dal, your throat was on fire. Maharaj would remember that too. And you never got sick. And, of course, Prabhupada also, I remember when the devotees started drinking a lot of herbal teas, and they said, Prabhupada, we're sick. You probably remember this. They said, we're sick. Prabhupada said, I'll make you a tea that'll get you better. And so Prabhupada invented this thing called the Brahmastra. And that tea was hot peppers and what else? Ginger root, hot peppers and things like that. And you drank it, and you better get better. So Prabhupada very much likes spicy things. And Krishna likes spicy things. In fact, you have the five basic rasas. You know, the Shanta ras, Dasha ras, Sakhi ras, Vatsalya ras, and Vaturya ras. And then you have the seven indirect rasas. And these seven indirect rasas, like ghastliness, humor, chivalry, they spice the direct rasas to make them very tasty. And this is what Radharani does. Just read a little more. Why does a woman continue to live who knows that Krishna's heart is unhappy, but who still shows her deep anger towards him? She is interested in her own happiness. I condemn such a woman to be struck on the head with a thunderbolt, for we simply want the happiness of Krishna. If a gopi envious of me satisfies Krishna and Krishna desires her, I shall not hesitate to go to her house and become her maidservant, for then my happiness will be awakened. And Prabhupada in the purport talks about this story from the Markandeya Purana, how there was a chaste wife who had a husband who wanted to see a prostitute. The husband had leprosy, and she served the prostitute. I'm not suggesting this as an example for all of you. She served the prostitute and enabled the husband to see the prostitute. And on the way to see the prostitute, the husband realized, oh, I have a great wife, don't need to see the prostitute. But on the way back, he touched Markandeya Rishi. And Markandeya Rishi cursed this gentleman to die before the rising of the sun the next day. And guess what happened? The lady said, the sun's not rising. And by her chastity, what did she do? She stopped the rising of the sun. And Suryadev had a vacation. And that's actually part of that story is a story in the Ramayana, which I'm not going to tell today. And that has to do with the birth of Sugriva and Bali. Krishna is my life and soul. Krishna is the treasure of my life. Indeed, Krishna is the very life of my life. I therefore keep him always in my heart and try to please him by rendering service. That is my constant meditation. Service to my lover is the home of happiness and is more sweet than direct union with him. The goddess of fortune is evidence of this, for although she constantly lives in the heart of Narayan, she wants to render service to his lotus feet. She therefore considers herself a maidservant and serves him constantly. And Prabhupada comments, these statements by Srimati Radharani show the symptoms of pure love for Krishna tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In that ecstatic love, his mind was unsteady. Transformations of transcendental love spread throughout his entire body, and he could not sustain his mind and body. So, now we're going to talk about Radharani, one story of Radharani's appearance. There's many different stories of Radharani's appearance. Now, if you go to Braj nowadays, some of you may hear that Radharani appeared in Varshana, and others may hear that Radharani appeared in Rabal. So, in different yugas, or different days of Lord Brahma, just like when Krishna appears once in a day of Lord Brahma, Radharani also appears, the pastimes vary. They're not always exactly the same. So keep that in mind when you hear, sometimes hear conflicting stories. There are several different stories about Radharani's appearance. The story I'm going to tell today comes from the Lalita Madhava. Lalita Madhava is a play written by Srila Rupa Goswami. He wrote two plays, two prominent plays, Lalita Madhava and Vidugdha Madhava. And he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to write these plays as separate plays. Originally he was going to write them as one play. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the introductory words from this play, he was amazed and astounded how Rupa Goswami had understood his heart and mind. So these plays were finished after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. But still, Lord Chaitanya, having read the beginning part, fully approved the conclusion of these plays. So in this particular play, Lalita Madhava, and if anyone's interested in hearing the complete plays as an audiobook, you go on to iskondesiretree.com. Anyone's heard of that? And if you go to my name, I have done recitations, that's readings of these plays, and there's music behind them, and they're very attractive readings. People really appreciate them. There's also apps available on Android and iOS. So, here's the story. So in this particular version, Radharani appears from Mount Vindhya. So, Mount Vindhya had a rivalry with the Himalayas. And the Himalayas, they were very important because they gave birth to Parvati. So Mount Vindhya, in those days, and even today, mountains have personalities. We may not see that, but there are personalities in mountains. There's personalities, or there's spirit souls in every cell in our body. There's spirit souls everywhere, sarva-dham. So, Lord Brahma blessed Mount Vindhya that not only would he have a very special daughter, but he would have a son-in-law that would defeat Lord Shiva. So, once upon a time, originally Radharani and Chandravali came from the womb, respectively, of Kirtida and Chandrabhanu's wife. Then they were transferred to Mount Vindhya, or the wife of Mount Vindhya, and Putana kidnapped them. The reason Putana kidnapped them is that Kamsa told Putana to kidnap them because he was told that the person who married this girl, Radharani, and that's Krishna, of course, would be the cause of his death. Now, Kamsa also was attracted, as we'll hear later on, to associating or even marrying Radharani. Of course, he could never approach Radharani. So, Putin was sent, and she kidnapped Radharani and Rukmini, who was Chandravali, and basically, Vindhya's priest, that is the priest of the mountain, Vindhya, chanted a demon-killing mantra, and Putin became very weak. And one girl fell into the river, that was Chandravali, or Rukmini. And Radharani was transferred at that particular time to Rishabhanu and Kirtida again. Okay? So, Radharani's had a nurse named Mukura, and then also we found Lalita, Padma, Bhadra, Saivya, Shama, and Vishaka appeared in Vrindavan at the same time. So, in Dwarka, each and every queen is an expansion of a gopi in Vrindavan. Try to remember this. So we're trying to understand the mood of the gopis in Vrindavan, specifically Radharani, by examining the queens in Dwarka. It's a very similar mood. Now, the Vidagdhamadava is only dealing with the pastimes in Braj. But by hearing the Litamadava, you'll understand more about Radharani's mood. The Vidagdhamadava gets very intimate. For example, we were telling one story to the devotees this morning. In the Vidagdhamadava, we have Radharani lamenting that she is very unchaste. She's ready to commit suicide because she feels she's unchaste. And she says, I am attracted to three different men. So, and that's, of course, for those of you in the Western world, so what? Three different men, five different men, you know, whatever. But if you understand Indian culture at that time, it's really important to understand as a background the Indian culture. Or, let's not say Indian culture, Vedic culture. There's a difference between Indian culture and Vedic culture. Indian culture today has probably less than 1/1,000,000% relationship with Vedic culture. It's like you go to India sometimes and you say, oh, this is Vedic culture. Vedic culture, rickshaws, and all that other stuff. So, in the traditional Vedic culture, the chastity of the woman was held in very high esteem. I was listening to a class today, Prabhupada said if a lady was gone, even if you didn't know where she was, then it destroyed her reputation. So, anyway, so getting back to Vrindavan, or to Dwarka. So each queen is an expansion of a gopi in Vrindavan. And, well actually, I didn't explain this whole thing about the three men that Radharani was attached to. Okay, so let's go back to that. So Radharani said that I'm attached to three different men, I'm unchaste, I want to commit suicide. That's how strong the culture was. And then Lalita Devi said to Radharani, those three different young men are one. Because Radharani was attracted to the person who played the flute. She was attracted to that threefold bending form of Krishna. And she was attracted to the person named Krishna. This is called Divyon Mada, transcendental madness. With transcendental madness, you, the pure devotees, under the jurisdiction of Vyabhachari Bhava, and of course, here we're referring to Srimati Radharani, they actually lose contact with reality and come in contact with the ultimate reality, Krishna. So she wasn't aware they were all the same person, and Lita Devi said they're the same person. Radharani was relieved. So in Dwarka, we have the situation where Kamsa wants to marry Radharani. So in order to marry or to associate with Radharani, because he's heard how beautiful she is, he sends his associate named Shankachuda. Shankachuda means the conch shell demon. He has a conch shell, or a jewel in the shape of a conch shell. And he sends him to kidnap Radharani. Now, Shankachuda was an associate of Kubera. He was a yaksha. And Shankachuda stole from Kubera's treasury something called a jewel in the shape of a conch shell. And that jewel later on became the Shyamantaka jewel. Okay, so you understand that. So, so meantime, Radharani and her mother, not her mother, but her mother-in-law, this is a mother-in-law story, her mother-in-law, Jatila, they go to worship Suryadev. Now, when Radharani goes to worship Suryadev, guess who becomes the priest to Surya? Krishna and who else? Madhu Mango. They become the two priests. And Radharani recognizes Krishna, but she's with Jatila, so she can't say anything. But Madhu Mango, all he's interested in is the payment, the Guru Dakshin of lottas. He's not interested in anything else. Actually, in the Vidagdha Madhava, he does all these humorous things. For example, one time Krishna goes out to herd the cows, and Yashoda Mai says to Krishna, please come back on time, you know, you're late. And usually late. And Madhu Mangal says he's late because he's looking at all the girls. And Krishna says, shut up! And then Madhu Mangal changes the story. He says, well, he's just taking care of the cows. The girl cows. So, you know, it's really funny. So Madhu Mangal is like this person who always brings humor into Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna recites mantras to worship Suryadev, but actually these mantras all have double meanings to them. And they actually indicate Srimati Radharani and his relationship with Srimati Radharani. And Jatila asks, where did these mantras come from? And Madhu Mango replies that they came from the third chapter, the Kashumei Savi Saka of the Vedas. And that means it comes from Kamadeva's books of amorous pastimes. You know, of course, Jatila doesn't understand a word of Sanskrit, so it's no problem. So, Jatila, they finish their mantras, and Jatila begins to feed Madhu Mango. And Radharani is seated on a throne. This takes place in the middle of Govardhan. In the middle of Govardhan, there's a place called the Ratna Singhasana area. Has anyone gone around Govardhan and seen this area? It's right in the middle. You go practically where the hill goes down, you go inside. It's a little dangerous because there's a lot of dacoits there. And there's a jeweled throne. And there's a kund there called the Ratna Kund. And this is called the Dark Forest. And so Radha and Krishna have many pastimes here. So, Radharani is seated on this throne, but unfortunately, Mukara, Radharani's grandmother, comes. And Krishna, because he doesn't want to be seen with Radharani, runs away. And when he runs away, Shankachuda kidnaps Radharani. Of course, we understand that Shankachuda could never touch Radharani. And similarly, we understand that Ramana could never touch Sita Devi. So it's like an expansion of Radharani that he dealt with at this point, because had Shankachuda touched Radharani, he would have died and he wouldn't have been able to touch Radharani. So Krishna kills him, gives the jewel of Shankachuda, this conch shell jewel, to Balaram. Balaram gives the jewel to Srimati Radharani, And Radha and Krishna have their pastimes at that point. So eventually, after some time, it's time for Krishna to leave Vrindavan. He's not dwarfing in the beginning of talking about it. So Krishna leaves Vrindavan, taken away by this person who was not cruel. Who's that? Akrura, the not cruel guy. He's the most cruel. When Krishna goes away, the Manasi Ganga shrinks up, the Govardhan shrinks, Radha and Vishakha decide to drown in the Yamuna River. And we also have Lalita jumps from Govardhan Hill to leave this world. Now, I know this is a little bit different than the versions you've usually heard before, but this illustrates the bhav, or the emotions of the devotees. And these pastimes are real too, because in each and every appearance of the Lord and his consorts, there are varieties. So, I know the story is a little different, but this is Srila Rupa Goswami who is perceiving this in his spiritual television. Prabhupada comments in the Srimad Bhagavatam that pure devotees have spiritual televisions. They can tune in to any of the Lord's pastimes they want. For example, if you're a pure devotee, you can say, oh, tonight I'm going to watch Varaha. What's on tonight? No, and no commercials either. So then Radharani and Vishakha, they jump into the Yamuna, Lalita jumps from Govardhan Hill, and Chandravali is actually taken by Bhishmaka's, by Rukmi, who is Bhishmaka's son, and taken to Vidarbha. So this is how Chandravali becomes Rukmini. So remember that the Yamuna is the daughter of who? Does anyone know? The sun god. And the sun god also has a very nice son that we've met many times before. What's his name? Yamaraj. So it's often said that if you go bathing in the Yamuna, you won't have to see Yamaraj. So what happens is, because she jumps into the Yamuna, she is taken up by the sun god. She's transported up to see the sun god, along with this jewel that was taken from Shankachuda, that was taken from Kuvera. Okay? So, fast forward, she's up there in the sun god. Then Krishna moves his associates to Dwarka to escape from Jatasandha. So when he moves his associates to Dwarka to escape from Jatasandha, he gets a note from a young girl who's going to be married to someone she doesn't want to marry, to Shukal. And Krishna was planning to remain unmarried. He says this in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Actually, Krishna says this to Satyabhama at one point. He says, I never wanted to get married. The only reason I got married in the first place was because I got this note from this girl who was going to be married to someone she didn't want. And therefore, I got married. So if I married one girl, I could marry 15,108. No difference. So, and then Krishna says to Satyabhama in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, actually, I don't love you. The only reason I did marry you, apart from the point, you know, that I had to get married to one girl, is you remind me of my girlfriends. Now that is really dangerous to say to your wife. And also it's mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that when Satyabhama and Krishna's wives are lying there in the beds next to Krishna, Krishna's reciting the names of his girlfriends. So at night, Krishna is saying, oh, Radha, oh, Chandravali, oh, what, you know, the rest of the girlfriends. And it's really driving his wives crazy. So Radharani's up with the sun. Rukmini gets kidnapped by Krishna, marries Krishna. But when she marries Krishna, Krishna promises to her and to her father, Bhishmaka, that he will not marry anyone else without Rukmini's permission. Remember, Rukmini is Chandravali. Same move. Remember I talked about right-handed She's right-handed, submissive. And Radharani Satyabhama, whose expansion of Satyabhama, is left-handed, unsubmissive. So, then, after some time, Krishna is given Satyabhama to get married to by Satyajit, because of the whole Simon Taka Jewel episode. I'm not going to go through that whole story. So anyway, so Krishna is given Satyabhama, but Satyabhama doesn't want to marry him, and also Krishna doesn't have permission to marry anyone else without Rukmini's permission, without King Bhishmika's permission. So Satyabhama doesn't want to marry Krishna because she doesn't understand that Dwarkadish is Krishna. She says, I'm just attached, this is Radharani's move, I'm just attached to Krishna, and I'm not interested in this king of Dwarka, Dwarkadish. So she is sent to this place called New Vrindavan, not the New Vrindavan you know about in the United States. But there's a place called Nava Vrindavan, which is a replica of the Braj, the replica of Vrindavan that's constructed right near Dwarka. Mentioned also in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita about this. So she goes there and she's lamenting, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I want to marry Krishna. I want to marry Krishna. And I'm not interested in this guy who's the king of Dwarka. Doesn't understand yet. So in this particular forest of Nava Vrindavan, she sees a deity of Krishna. And this deity of Krishna is life-size, same complexion. And when she sees this deity of Krishna, what does she do? She starts to decorate the deity. And she puts some jewels on the deity, peacock feather on the deity. And it helps her feel a lot better. Then she hears someone coming. So she jumps into the bushes so no one can discover her. And the person who's coming is Dwarkadish or Krishna. And he walks through the forest and he sees the deity. And he says, someone has been decorating my deity. I want to find out. And in order to find out, he takes the deity and puts the deity in the bushes. And he puts the same decorations that Satyabhama, who is actually Radharani, remember? Same mood. We're trying to illustrate the mood of Radharani. So he puts the deity in the bushes. And he puts this on and he stands still like a deity. Like this. And so as he's standing still, Radharani, Satyabhama, comes out of the bushes and sees the deity. She doesn't understand it's actually Krishna. And she sees the deity and continues to decorate the deity. And as she's touching the deity, she feels it's kind of soft. Not made of stone, not marble, it's soft. And Krishna doesn't understand that this is actually Radharani. He thinks it's another deity of Radharani that's decorating him. So he's saying, Vishwakarma, who made this Nava Vrindavan, has done such an expert job that he's constructed a deity of Radharani that talks and acts and decorates him. And Radharani is thinking the same thing. Think, well, this deity is amazing. The deity is moving, the deity is doing all these things and talking. And eventually, she discovers it is Krishna, and Krishna discovers it's Srimati Radharani. So, then, Krishna is very happy. Satyabhama, who is Radharani, is very, very happy. But Rukmini starts to get suspicious because Krishna is associating with Satyabhama without the permission of Rukmini. So Rukmini doesn't even know what's happening. And Krishna wants to spend more and more time with Satyabhama, and he starts lying to Rukmini. He tells Rukmini he wants to associate with this ascetic woman. That means a lady who's doing yoga, a very old lady who's doing yoga. And Rukmini doesn't really trust him. She senses what is happening and she sends her associate, Madhavi, to switch clothes between, because they look very similar. And so she switches the clothes. So Krishna one time meets Rukmini, who's also in Navarvrindavan at this point, and he thinks it's Satyabhama. And he says, Satya, and he begins to say Satya, and one of his associates known as Navarvrinda, that means new Vrinda, or the Vrinda that appears in this Navarvrindavan forest, says, no, that's Rukmini. And so Krishna stops immediately. And then he gets away with all sorts of trickery, just like he does in Vrindavan, when he's sneaking away to meet with Srimati Radharani. He does so many things. There's so many stories told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And some of the stories, Krishna has to take on the guise of a lady to associate with Srimati Radharani. In other stories, Krishna has to hide in a box of jewels. That's a wonderful story. I can tell it in a second. Once upon a time, Yashoda Mai wanted to send jewelry to Radharani through Radharani's husband, Abhimanyu. It's not the Abhimanyu in the Mahabharata, it's a different Abhimanyu. And so she was putting all these jewels in the box, and Krishna says, what are you doing? And Yashoda Mai says, I'm putting all these jewels in the box to send to Radharani, and her husband's going to bring the jewels to her. And Krishna says, okay. Mother leaves the room, Krishna takes all the jewels out of the box, jumps in the box, closes the box on top of him. Then Yashoda Mai calls Abhimanyu and she says, take this box to your wife. And so Abhimanyu is carrying this box with Krishna in it and carries it to his wife, Srimati Radharani, and he says, decorate yourself with what's in the box. And so he puts the box down, goes away, and closes the door, and out of the box jumps Krishna, and Radharani says, I have to follow my husband's orders, decorate myself with what's in the box, and what's in the box is Krishna. So Krishna is quite an unusual personality. Many times I tell the devotees that if you want a good example, don't follow Krishna. Krishna's a terrible example for us. He's a good example as to who God is, but not a good example for living entities such as us. If you want a good example, you follow the example of Lord Ram. Lord Ram is one wife, one word, one arrow. And that's it. No more than that. So, the story goes on. So, Krishna and Radharani, who is appearing as Satyabhama, are meeting in the cave. They'll have different pastimes. And in one particular cave, there's pictures of all their Vrindavan pastimes. And just like some of you were a little older, you pull out your photographic book. Of course, now you go on the internet. And you look at pictures of when you were young, right? Some of you are married, you have your wedding pictures. Anybody have their wedding pictures? Or no? And you look at pictures, oh, I was so young, it was so nice. You look so good then. So, Krishna and Radharani are doing the same thing. Of course, they're always young. Krishna's Navayovana. And Radharani is always young. So they're not looking at their pictures thinking, how did we get old? Like we do. So they're looking at these pictures, and some of the pictures they're enjoying very much. But Krishna is still teasing Satyabhama, Radharani in different ways. They look at a picture of when Krishna stole the gopis' clothes and made them come out of the Yamuna River and offer obeisances to him. And in that picture there is a description or a depiction of Srimati Radharani, and Krishna points to that particular individual and says to Radharani or Satyabhama, who is that? And she gets angry at Krishna. You know who that is. So there's this interesting exchange. Sometimes there's anger, sometimes there's sweetness. It's very spicy exchange between Radha and Krishna, Satyabhama and Krishna, Dwarkadish. So then, eventually, they come to one picture that they both hate. Can anyone guess what that picture would be? What picture in Braj would both Radharani and Krishna hate? What? What? No. Krishna leaving Vrindavan.
Separation.
Akrura taking Krishna away from Vrindavan. So they really hate that picture. So eventually Rukmini catches on to what's happening with Radha and Krishna. And because Krishna is getting even more tricky at this particular point. You know, Krishna makes an excuse. He says he wants to meet with someone else. He's going out for some duties. But when he makes that excuse, before he makes that excuse to Rukmini, he tells Satyabhama what he's going to do, how he's going to lie to Rukmini. But a parrot overhears this. And the parrot goes to Rukmini and says, and repeats Krishna's words. Yeah, I'm going to trick this Rukmini. And then Rukmini says, that's it. I'm going to send Satyabhama away so she never gets close to my husband again. Then what happens is the parrot flies back to Krishna. And Satyabhama says, I'm going to send Satyabhama away so she never gets close to my husband again. So Satyabhama at this particular point decides to kill herself. And the way she decides to kill herself is to drown herself in the Kaliya lake in this Dava Vrindavan. Now remember, the Kaliya serpent was in Vrindavan, in the Kaliya lake, and he was sent to Fiji. Those who want to see Kaliya serpent, you go to Fiji. He's still there. Prabhupada said he's still there. So, anyway, so she tries to drown herself. She jumps in the lake. Krishna runs after her to save her. Grabs, puts his arms around her, and she's thinking, these are snakes that are biting me. And then she understands, why aren't the snakes biting? And it's Krishna. Then, finally, he saves Srimati Radharani Satyabhama, comes out of the lake, and Rukmini recognizes Satyabhama, because she's actually Chandravali, as Radharani, and they make up, and he gives permission for Krishna to marry Satyabhama. It's a wonderful story from the Lita Madhava. So the reason I'm telling this story is that it illustrates the mood of Srimati Radharani as contrasted to Chandravali's mood. It's a very wonderful story in that regard. So I think we're supposed to end at 11:45 and it's 11:55 right now, right? So I think we've gone 10 minutes over. We have many more stories. Anyone have any questions about it? Srimati Radharani on her appearance day. Yes?
What is it made to be Krishna's internal pleasure brother?
Internal pleasure brother, that's a Shakti. There are different categories of entities. There's Shaktis and there's Jiva souls and they're expansions of Krishna. Krishna has his Vishnu Tattva expansions. They're called Swamsa expansions. Krishna has his Jivatattva expansions, which are called Vivinamsa expansions. And Krishna has his Shaktis, the Adi Shakti, the original potency of Krishna, Krishna directly expanding as a Shakti, is Srimati Radharani. And from Srimati Radharani, you have the other Shaktis, that is the gopis, the eight principal gopis, and the other principal gopis, and then from them expand the wives of Krishna and Dwarka. Then you have Lakshmi, the Lakshmis in the Vaikuntha planets. And then ultimately, those Shaktis are manifest in the material world as the Maya Shakti. In the same way that Krishna expands himself, not in Vishnu Tattva expansion, but in a category that's sometimes called Shiva Tattva, as Lord Shiva. In the Brahma Samhita, it's mentioned that Krishna manifests Lord Shiva through his glance, Saikshita. When he looks at the material creation, he impregnates Durga through the glands, which is known as Shambhu. And so in a similar way, the Shaktis, through this hierarchy, expand to even the material Durga. Durga is not material, she's a pure devotee, but she deals with the material world and she consorts with Lord Shiva. Krishna himself never touches this material energy. So Radharani is the Adi Shakti of the Lord, sometimes described as the Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti means the pleasure potency of the Lord. There's three of the potencies, Samvit, Sandini, Sandini, and Ladini. Samvit is the cognitive potency, that is knowing. You know, like Krishna is all-knowing. Krishna says in the Gita, I know everything past, present, and future. And the Sundari potency is actually under the jurisdiction of Balaram. And that's the maintenance potency, both the maintenance of this world, which is conducted or held up by Ananta Shesh, who's the expansion of Balaram. And then in the spiritual world, you have Balaram maintaining spiritual spirituality, the spiritual planets and everything like that. As described by the Acharyas, that Balaram expands as the Lord's paraphernalia, such as the Lord's Sinasana, like we have on the temple of Sinasana, the temple itself. Practically all the paraphernalia of the Lord is expansion of Balaram. So these are the different tattvas. Tattvas means the categories. Basically, there's Jiva Tattva, in one sense there's Shiva Tattva, there's Shakti Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and Maya Tattva, etc. So, any other questions about these points? Questions, comments? Yes?
Which Tattva is Rada?
Is Rada?
Hare
in the Hare
Krishna Mahamantra, Hare.
Hare, yeah, in the Hare Krishna mantra, it's Hare. That is Shakti. Shakti, it's in the, it basically means the energy of the Lord in the vocative sense. Vocative means to cry out. In English, we don't have a separate sense where we have vocative, so we add another word, oh. Like if I'm going to say someone's name, like, oh Krishna, oh Govinda. But in Sanskrit, and also in Hindi, you have a vocative tense where you can, it's part of the word itself. So Hare, it's not Hara, Hara is something different. But Hare refers to, oh Radharani, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in Krishna's service. And the other two words in the Maha Mantra, Krishna and Rama, are also in the same sense, vocative. In other words, they're not nominative. Nominative means name. Like the nominative for Krishna would be Krishne. So Krishna, oh Krishna. So basically when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're saying, oh Radharani, oh Krishna, and Ram can mean, for some of you, Lord Ramchandra. It can mean Radharaman, according to some of the Acharyas. Or it can also mean Balaram, Nityananda. Something for everybody. So it's also vocative. Oh Ram, oh Radharaman, oh Balaram. Right? Oh Krishna, oh Radharani. So when you chant the holy names, you can chant or should chant with that particular mood. Oh Krishna Balaram, oh Ram, oh Srimati Radharani, please engage me in service. Okay? So I think we went over time by 15 minutes. We're supposed to have a Pushpa Abhishek now. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.